Welcome to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken. Shep will talk with some of the smartest thinkers in business to help make you more successful in your professional and personal life. This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
Hello, everybody. It's Shep Hyken here. We're back with another episode of Amazing Business Radio. We have a repeat offender as a guest. And what I mean by that is Alan Masaryk has been here before. He's the president and CEO of Avaya, a company that is completely entrenched in the customer experience. Now, before we get into the interview, if you've got an amazing story that you would like to share or a question that you have, I want you to reach out to me on any of the social channels. I'm pretty much everywhere. X or Twitter, if you still want to call it that, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and more. And if it is a question, remember to use the hashtag AskShep. I'll answer the question you send in right there in the social channel here on this show, in my newsletter, or on my TV show, which is Be Amazing or Go Home. Episodes can be found on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Prime, or you can just go to YouTube and binge watch all of the episodes by going to beamazing.tv. That is the YouTube channel, beamazing.tv. So with that in mind, we're going to get into this amazing interview today. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Shep. Glad to be with you again.
We are back. And the last time we were talking about this amazing turnaround that you orchestrated over at Avaya, but this time we're taking it to a whole nother level with what you're all about and some of the incredibly great things you're doing in the area of AI technology and really the overall customer service experience in the contact center. So first of all, how have things been in the last year since we have seen each other?
Things have been very good. We've made a tremendous amount of progress. This transformation continues. Always lots, more work to do, but feel very, very comfortable about the elements, a financial transformation initially, strategic transformation thereafter, fulfilled through operational transformation. So we are, through the financial transformation, through the strategic. And there's a great deal of work going on the operational side, but, that's execution. We're always, every business is sort of in midst of execution, but we've made a ton of progress, feel really good about it. And future's looking pretty darn bright.
Right. Now, as I reflect back on our first conversation, I was impressed that a technology software guy can come in and do an amazing CEO, what I would call almost a CFO-like turnaround. Now, had I not had that in my background, I would be wondering, it's like now we're looking at the opposite. You're now back to doing what you really, I think your whole background's about, which is technology and software and that type of thing.
Correct. I'm fortunate that my background, my earliest background, I'm actually a finance guy in my earliest day, but, you can't separate, but, I'm a product person at heart. So you see the things that we're doing really are taking, I look at everything from a customer in perspective. What are the product solutions that serve the customer? Pretty straightforward. In situations like Avaya was in a year and a half ago, if you don't fix the underlying financial situation, delevering, recapitalizing the company, very difficult to make a lot of forward progress on how you're going to serve your customer if you haven't fixed those foundational issues. So, like most things in these types of transformations, there are sort of periods in time where the focus is on one element of the transformation versus the other. The beauty here is the financial transformation has a beginning and an end. It's behind us many, many months ago. So put a big green check on that.
That's good.
The strategic transformation, defining who we are, where we're going, how we provide, value to the customer. What is our core value proposition? That is check. Now you have to make it real. That's the operational transformation. And that's the day-to-day work executionally that we're involved in. But that's the fun part in my view, because that's delivering product value to customers.
Great. So let's go back to that second check mark, which is exactly what you do and who you are. If I was asked to define who you were, I would say Avaya creates products and services that serve customers. And by the way, I'm taking that from your words. I would say the focus would be on communications, contact center, but also internal communications throughout the organization. Am I right, wrong? Am I? Or how about this? How about you give me the one sentence?
So the one sentence is, we provide customer experience solutions for large enterprises. Customer experience solutions for large enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. How do we provide customer experience? You know, we're humans. We communicate. And so it's rooted in communications, which, you know, back 20 years ago used to be voice communications. Well, clearly we still communicate via voice, but that's what you and I are doing now.
Right.
But the world has evolved to what they refer to as omni-channel, all sorts of channels of communication, whether it is voice, video, messaging, chat, social, web, et cetera, et cetera. And there are more being added all the time. So the underpinning of customer experience is communication. And so when I joined a little shy of 2 years ago, the opportunity I saw was, how do you take a company like Avaya, which is the worldwide leader, market share leader in enterprise communications, and how do you play that asset base into this trend, into this massive addressable market now defined as customer experience? That's precisely what we're executing to.
Wow. So I'm going to throw this idea out. We're talking about communication, and it happens with traditional phone versus every other type of communication channel.
Yep.
So we did a survey. So here's a pop quiz. I don't expect you to get the answer correct, but if you do, I'll be extremely impressed. We asked customers, do you prefer the phone or do you prefer digital support, such as all the other channels that you mentioned? What do you think? I know the easy question. It's the warm-up question. What do you think the preference is?
It's still voice.
It's still voice.
In terms of how they use it. But my experience with our customers, they want to move from voice where they can into digital. I mean, digital, it's sort of think of that writ large. Digital could mean chat and social and web, email, a whole variety of interaction or of communications. But so many of our customers, they'd like to minimize voice interaction because that's one-to-one. It's very expensive. You know, it's a human on the phone or what have you with the client. In digital, it's one-to-many. It's asynchronous. And the beauty is you then can introduce into this customer experience world all sorts of AI utilities. We often think about the chat bot or the voice bot, but there's a whole raft of other things around generative AI that create greater efficiency, greater utilization of the one-to-one interaction because you're solving so many things either digitally or deflecting it altogether via the chat bot, the voice bot, what have you. And there's a whole variety of things I can take you through in terms of how using AI and other self-service capabilities change the whole nature of the interaction. Because remember, the key thing, the reason the customer experience market is so large, expected to be almost $50 billion by the end of this decade, it is because brands in the internet economy are struggling to differentiate themselves sort of in the old-fashioned way. We used to differentiate product, price, and availability. But in the internet world, where you can get price discovery in a keystroke, get it delivered, you know, tomorrow, find a comparable product anywhere on the planet, it's difficult to differentiate. So now those big brands out there are trying to differentiate based upon the experience they provide.
Yeah.
So the tool that provides a better customer experience software solution to help the brand provide it to the downstream customer, that's the winner out there. And that's exactly what we're trying to
right. And the way I see that is, right, how do you differentiate yourself from one brand to the next? And it happens when the customer needs you beyond the purchase. That's where I think the rubber hits the road. It isn't because I can create a better shopping cart experience, although there's a point where you could say, yeah, this is a little better than that, but most shopping cart experiences are good. Most websites are being laid out very well. I want to go back to something you said that's really important. I'm just going to give you my take on it. Even email doesn't have to be a human-to-human experience, even if it appears to be so. And I think this is where you were going. You mentioned email, but if I am a customer and send an email in to a company and I get a response back 45 minutes later, it could be AI created that response and sent it to me. Okay, so I've chosen to use a channel other than voice, but doesn't necessarily require human-to-human interaction. Chat's the same way. There's chatbot, there's live agent chat, and it becomes obvious the difference. It's easy to tell. The chatbot responds to me within a nanosecond, and the agent takes a few seconds to type out their answer, which, by the
Right,
way, I
right.
think we should automatically put a few seconds into the chatbot. But here's my point on all of this. We ask consumers if they think AI is going to eliminate jobs or not, and many of them say yes. But a huge percentage also said, we believe, and this is people who, I mean, they're not in our world. They said, I'm going to use my terminology, it may displace jobs, but it will allow more jobs because somebody's got to check that AI answer. And quality control over the digital experience is becoming a big job right now in companies. So the efficiency of being able to pop out hundreds, if not thousands, of emails quickly is important, because if all we have to do is check to make sure that information is accurate, it's a whole lot better than having to write up the whole email.
Right. I think with AI, so there's a bull and a bear case from an employment point of view relative to AI. Will it be a net destroyer of jobs, a bear case, or will it not? Will it grow jobs? There's an example that I like to reference that goes back to the introduction of the automatic teller machine in
Yes,
banking
it's
three
in my
decades ago.
book. Yep.
Okay,
It did
so
not
maybe I
kill the teller.
that's exactly right, because what did the teller do? And but when it first came out, and this is long before there was pure digital banking and branchless banking,
Yeah, this
but
was
when the
Barclays
ATM
back in the
came out,
60s.
when the ATM came, it said it's going to kill the teller. What it did is the teller no longer did those simple routinized interactions with you as the customer, cash your check, take your deposit. They got to do more highly, interactive interactions with the customer that required more human empathy and intelligence and things like that that couldn't be done just by a transactional machine. I think the analog holds true here, meaning you're trying to take the routinized queries. I want to change my password. I want to confirm an appointment, whatever, and take those out machine to machine, voice bot, chat bot, etc. But so that the human is then getting involved in those things that require greater intellect, empathy, etc., that are sort of uniquely human. Now, at the end of the day, I think the ability to provide a better business outcome for that brand, it's a combination of the customer experience, obviously, but the customer experience is being driven by the employee experience. So, all too often, the agent, the first person you're interacting with as a customer, that's a tough job. It has huge levels of turnover. So, if you're trying to deal and get a question answered from somebody who's only been on the job for a month, unlikely that you're going to get your question answered. And quite frankly, if the employee can't answer the question, it's an unsat or dissatisfactory experience or unsatisfactory experience for the employee. So the idea is you have to maximize or optimize the employee experience and the customer experience to provide that better business outcome. So
Right.
that's why these solutions, this is where AI is really important, because it's a lot more fun for the agent to be dealing with interesting queries, not just resetting your password, to use that example. And they want to be able to answer the customer's questions. The beautiful example of generative AI that we use, which is, I'll give you sort of a great example, which is you have a customer interaction, it's an e-commerce site, and the customer wants to return something and the agent makes the decision to give the customer, couldn't do the return, but they gave him for their trouble, they gave him a gift certificate. Pretty classic thing. Now the customer then asks, I'm going to France next week. Can I use that gift certificate? Now think of that question, how difficult it would be to answer this sort of unusual question. You'd have to sort of pop back into the knowledge database and maybe get back to the customer. It's frustrating for the employee, for the agent. It's frustrating for the customer. Versus generative AI is listening in the background, searching through the knowledge database, popping a summary text in the agent's screen saying, yeah, you can use that gift certificate in France next week. Think what a pleasant experience that is for both the agent and the customer. So it's where you use things like AI, both, you know, I'll call it traditional AI and now generative AIs, in ways that are creative that provide an immediate return on investment. Again, business outcome is a function, in our view, of employee experience and customer experience. That is a, you know, they're sort of, you know, two halves of the same coin.
Right. You're getting so far ahead of me in questions. I'm going to come back to that Barclays example of the Barclays bank that installed the teller machine thinking, or the ATM machine, thinking it would kill the teller. No more tellers. And as we know, you can go to any bank. There's an ATM machine and right outside the bank and inside are two or three tellers taking care of business. And I want to wrap up the first part of our interview by saying, and then I'm going to come back and I told you, I warmed you up with a question about what customers prefer. When we come back, I'm going to ask you the second part of that question. But let me wrap up by saying this. If the ATM machine did not kill the teller and video did not kill the radio star, I do not believe there's a throwback to the Buggles, right? MTV. Yeah. I do not believe that AI is going to kill the jobs in the customer experience world either. We will be right back. We're talking with Alan Masurek, the president and CEO of Avaya, about all things related to digital support, customer experience, and even employee experience. Don't wait, go away. We're coming right back.
One of my favorite sayings is that customer service isn't a department. It's a philosophy. And it's a philosophy that must be embraced by everyone in the organization all the time, and that's 24/7. So if customer service is important to you, and I know it is, then you will love our virtual training, the ultimate on-demand customer service and experience training program that you can access anytime, anywhere. Now, the course content applies to everyone, regardless of position or responsibility, from senior executives to the most recently hired and everyone in between. You'll discover tips, ideas, and strategies that won't cost your company a fortune, but will produce what I call moments of magic, those positive experiences, and it will happen at every level of your organization. So go to Customer Service VT. That's V as in virtual, T as in training. That's CustomerServiceVT.com. It's time to get customer focused.
You're listening to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken.
We're back on Amazing Business Radio. We're talking with Alan Masurek, the president and CEO of Avaya. I'm excited. We're going to get into the whole customer experience thing again in just a moment, but I want to go back to the original question I wanted to ask. And you gave me a partial answer when I said, what do you think customers prefer, phone or any other type of support? And you said phone, which is correct. What percentage of customers do you think prefer the phone over digital or self-service solutions?
Well, I think I'm going to guess 75% prefer live.
So close. So close. 70%, which is pretty darn. You're about as close as anybody's gotten, by the way. So congratulations. Here's the interesting thing. You would think with November of 2022, the introduction of ChatGPT to the world, that today, a year and a half later, most customers would completely understand this technology and recognize it and start to do more digital support. But in the past 4 years, actually five since we've been tracking this, we are seeing an increase in the desirability over digital and self-service support. Now, I have a theory behind that, which is that there are too many companies lagging with upgrading their technology to create a good experience. So customers, depending on which company they're interacting with, can't remember whether it was just a good one or not so good one, and therefore they just pick up the phone and go. But what's interesting is that 74% have used digital self-service experiences, even though it's not their preference. And we asked, have you ever experienced a complete self-service solution? And about a third say yes. So I think that number is going to increase. But So I just think those are fascinating stats and facts. And if you want to share another comment or two about that before we go back to the employee experience, I just think it ties in so well to what we're doing.
So I think that it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I my guess was 75%. There's a view that customer experience is all about the inbound. And I don't think that's correct. I think customer experience is around the customer journey, which is both inbound and outbound. And let me explain. In the old view of the contact center, I've got a problem. I'm the customer. I've got a problem. I've got a question. I've got a billing, whatever it is. I call in or I reach in some sort of communication channel. That's really not customer experience in my view. Customer experience is the journey, meaning virtually all businesses go outbound to prospects, turn some of the prospects into qualified opportunities. The salespeople get involved, turn some of those qualified opportunities into customers. Customers do come inbound in the traditional motion. And then account management goes outbound again for upsell, renewal, collections, things like that. Now, those interactions now are happening in a very omni-channel way, voice still being the dominant one, but in a very omni-channel way. The beauty of AI and this whole journey is about, first, what do you know about the customer? How are you serving the customer? Because you want to deflect. If you start to the point saying, I only get involved with the customer when they come inbound to me, when there's a problem, then I think you've already lost the battle. You want to be thinking about what's the next best action? What is predictive about the customer? This is where AI has a great deal of applicability, not just in the traditional inbound motion where I use a voice bot or a chat bot to deflect it to the machine versus it going to the human. So, but nonetheless, we all as an industry have to do this better because, you know, there is a massive amount of money spent in contact centers throughout the world on the voice agent. And so in some respects, the voice agent has that bullseye on their back because that's this most costly piece of the contact center. Digital, doing it, you know, asynchronous, one-to-many versus one-to-one has this opportunity to reduce cost. But you can't reduce the cost unless you're maximizing the customer experience. And so the whole focus of Avaya is, how do you provide these solutions that are both inbound and outbound, customer employee experience and customer experience? Ultimately, you're going to, you know, see a better business outcome. That better business outcome may not ever mean you have one fewer agent. It's just you're doing a better job on behalf of the customers. And if you look at all the research, those who are generating a, you know, better relationship with their customers do substantially better in terms of revenue growth, stock market appreciation, things like that. That's the focus, even though you may never get a reduction in a single agent.
Right. And we did a survey with Captera, which is part of Gartner, last year, toward the end of the year. And one of the questions we asked a bunch of contact center leaders, are you, with the advent of AI and ChatGPT and generative, you know, voice tech down, all that.
Yeah.
Are you increasing, decreasing, or keeping the employee level the same? I'm not going to quiz you on the answer, but I'll tell you what was fascinating to me is only 9% said they were decreasing. And I'm going to bet those 9% would have decreased, many of them, even if there wasn't any new technology. I think they're just struggling companies that are reducing employees. But 63%, or anyway, in the 60s, okay, plus percent that said, no, we're increasing. And I love that because what they're using for exactly what you're talking about is they are using the whole concept of technology, digital self-service, whatever you want to call it, is a way to enhance the total experience because you don't have to reduce headcount to make more money. You've got to get your customer to come back again and again and spend more.
Correct. Correct. You know, we have been working in terms of how we deploy what we do with a unique value prop that we refer to as innovation without disruption.
Right.
And incorporates a lot of AI, but the key thing also is this without disruption. So let's talk about that for a minute. All these businesses, they want to improve the experience of their customer. If they don't, it's an existential threat. They have to improve that experience with the customer. The same time, they're all looking at technology solutions. You know, we're an enterprise software company. They're looking for technology solutions that help achieve that goal. Now, for many, many years, new technologies, the sort of, you know, the implication of going with a new technology was ripping out the old. The larger and more complex the customers are, and we are overly indexed to the largest institutions on the planet, the existing investments in core communications infrastructure have been so bespoke into your environment and built into your workflows, the last thing you want to do is rip it out. But to your point, we're going to see more and more digital. You're going to see more and more AI utilities delivered. So the whole idea of innovation without disruption is, let me deliver you the innovation immediately, working in hybrid with the existing infrastructure. That has resonated incredibly well. That has been sort of the central focus of our transformation as a company, is among, most importantly, the largest institutions, this innovation without disruption, avoiding the rip and replace has resonated incredibly well. And so that message and what we're delivering in terms of the product roadmap to make that real, that's key to the whole thing. And it's working very well.
Yeah. And I think employees appreciate, they might learn a new skill, but they aren't replacing some old skills that they've gotten comfortable with doing. And the other comment I want to make is that I think you're also implying that that employee experience, well, actually you said it at the very beginning of the second half of our interview, and you started in the first half, is that that employee experience is crucial to delivering the right customer experience. If we do something that's customer focused, but completely disrupt the employee experience, that is total frustration. You used the word earlier, turnover. You'll see people churn out of their jobs because they're frustrated. They're burnt out. Their head is exploding because we're expected to do something so new so quickly and haven't eased into it. And really, at the end of the day, it's what can we do to make it, and you said it, it's the total journey inside and out that makes the experience better for everyone, especially the customer. Payoff, two payoffs. One is, as mentioned, customer comes back, buys more. Second payoff, people stay.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. The least expensive or the most profitable customer that you have is the one you already have. It's the upsell to that customer. And particularly in the world that is increasingly a SaaS world, you know, this works, you know, not just in, you know, enterprise communications and the CX space, but in literally every enterprise software category. The opportunity to retain and upsell the base is critical, You spend so much time and effort getting the customer, installing the customer. You want to keep the customer. And so you got to make sure that the customer, you know, that the business is delivering their customer a wonderful experience, or as wonderful as it can be. So that's why there's opportunities for an enterprise software company like Avaya, who provides those solutions that helps with a, you know, pleasant employee experience to deliver a pleasant and satisfactory customer experience. It's the marriage of the two that drives the better business outcome.
Right.
So, and that's where we're playing.
Back in the very early days of my speaking career, and I'm going to say really early, probably back in the mid 1980s. I know, us guys that don't have hair, it's hard to tell how old we really are, right? But I started at a very young age too.
Yeah.
But Dr. Ted Levitt, the professor at Harvard Business School, wrote a book called Marketing Imagination long before I even started my business. And in that book, he described the function of a business. And I know I wasn't the first one, but I flipped it around as a question. And I would ask the audience, what do you think the function of a business is? And 90%, probably 98% would say, what? To make money. And yeah, the function is not to make money. It's to get and keep your customers. The goal is to make money. Confuse the function and the goal, you don't always reach your goal, which I think is exactly what you're saying.
The make money is a derivative of serving the customer. If you don't serve the customer, you're not going to make money. I mean, so we see that everywhere. Mm-hmm. Failure of businesses that do not serve the customer. Everything that we do is a customer in approach. How do you serve the customer? It's really fascinating. I think so often, you know, I was going to say corporate America, but corporate world has confused that often and gotten those in reverse order. It's a mistake. Serve the customer. Take a customer in approach in everything.
Well, I don't know how we're going to top that, but I'm going to ask you the final question. We're way beyond typical time, but I've just loved this conversation. What would one last piece of advice, nugget of wisdom, whatever you want to call it, what would you like to share with our listeners today?
I think that I'm going to go back to this customer in.
Yeah, that's a great line, by the way. The customer in approach.
It's the truth. You have to be customer in. And if you know, I tell, you know, students or, you know, colleagues or leaders or other leaders, whatever, I always talk about this notion of you've got to have just, you know, kind of set your North Star on as few things as possible. Focus wins. And so if you're always thinking customer first, and it's almost trite. Some people say it and don't mean it, but if you really live it, customer in, and make sure your decisions are rooted in that, your business is going to be successful. Now, obviously, there has to be, you know, you've got to deliver to those customers and things like that, but you're designing from the customer in. That's the best piece of information I can give to folks, because at the end of the day, brands win today on how they make the customer feel. So it's not any longer product, price, availability. That all has to be there, obviously. But there's too many alternatives for the customer to go to who can give you a similar product, price, and availability. So why do I choose your brand versus the competitive brand? It's how you make me feel. So we as leaders of companies have to sit back and always anchor our thinking customer in. How do you serve that customer? Because how we make them feel is ultimately going to be the difference.
I love it. I love it. And this is why we call this Amazing Business Radio. Alan, it's been a pleasure and a joy to talk with you again. I hope it's not another year before we get back together, but thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Shep, thanks so much. I've enjoyed it.
All right, everybody, that wraps it up. Another episode of Amazing Business Radio. We will be back next week with another interview. Until that time, this is Shep Hyken reminding you to always be amazing.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.